Amen. It's about the cross. Aren't you glad to know that Jesus was willing to leave everything and come to nothing and die for a nobody like me? That's the way I feel about myself when I think about the cross. But he looked beyond my faults, Johnny, and he saw my needs. Boy, I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Amen. Let's go to him in a word of prayer this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, this morning. Lord, we thank you for what the cross means to us. Yes, we look back to the ages of time and we see a little baby in a manger. Lord, coming to die for the sins of the world. And Lord, we thank you so much for that. But some 33 years later, we see him hanging, suspended between heaven and earth, dying for our sins. Father, we could never praise you. We could never thank you enough. For it's about the cross. Lord, we thank you for that this morning. Lord, would you so fill this place today with your Holy Spirit that when we leave here, we'll be able to say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Lord, I pray that you would be with the song service this morning. Accept our worship and our praise. Lord, I pray that you'd be with our pastor this morning and so fill him, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. We know you've given him a message. Lord, help him this morning to be able to get it out the way you put it in. You know exactly what is needed. If there's someone in this place, Lord, that's never accepted you as their personal Savior, may this be the day that they'd come to realize that and come to know you as the Lord of their life. Lord, we worship you, we praise you, we thank you. Lord, we exalt you, we lift your name this morning on high. But Lord, what a day it's going to be when we can see you face to face. Amen. Lord, we will fall on our faces before you, I am sure. And we'll praise you for about the first 1,000,000 years because you're worthy. Lord, what a day, a glorious day that's going to be.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore.
Church, stand and sing the chorus. You know it this morning.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face.
Sing it again, church. Worship the Lord this morning. Think about that. What a day. I shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day. When he takes me by the hand, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. Pastor.
And I hope you are too. I hope you're saved. I hope you know that you know that you know that when you die, heaven to be your home. What an awesome song service thus far. God, forgive me. Guys and gals, forgive me in the sound booth. I don't have my lapel on just yet. I'm running a little behind, but I know the pulpit mic's on. But anyway, so good to be here this morning. So good to see each and every one of you. Y'all doing okay this morning? Y'all doing all right? All right, all right. Well, it's summertime and people are coming and going. But nonetheless, God is good and God is still on the throne. And he is doing awesome and amazing things. I want to mention a few things this morning before we pray. I want to welcome our visitors. So if you're visiting with us, thank you for coming. And I hope you are greeted by the presence of the Lord and have been already. Also, we celebrated on Wednesday night 5 that got baptized. And what a tremendous service that was. And they all got saved at one point in time or the other, and then they followed through with believers' baptism. And Brother Brian and I had a good time, didn't we, baptizing these. And what a blessing it was. I do want to request prayer this morning, special prayer for those people in Texas at that camp. When I left the house this morning, I believe it was like 59 young people. I'm sure there were some middle-aged and older people too, but there were several girls that died in that flood. Some flood on the Guatemala River in Texas. I believe it said 1 hour of rain, something like that. It was either 1 hour or 1 day. Nonetheless, it took them all by surprise. And they showed a picture on the news of probably about 20 or 25 little girls. And the newsman said, don't be optimistic, America, that they're going to be found alive. That crushed my heart. That crushed Christy's heart. We just stood there, and Christy told me yesterday about it. I just could not. It's hard to understand something like that. I mean, just like that. We need to pray for them families, the parents. I cannot comprehend. I do not want to comprehend. But I do want to pray for them. Also, let's continue to remember Miss Dolores in our prayers. As Brother Allen mentioned earlier, I think at least during choir practice, he mentioned this, that Brother Leonard was laid to rest on Monday. He is in the presence of Jesus. And Brother Allen and Sister Terry did an amazing job singing. Great job. And Miss Becky Hooper was there. She did a great job on the piano. But we're going to miss Brother Leonard down here. It all started with Brother Leonard with a trip to the eye doctor. He had a speck behind his eyeball, one of them. It turned out to be cancer. It metastasized, spread through his body. They tried everything they could try. I remember being at his first cancer treatment, Northside Hospital in Canton. And they were doing a test. They did the immune therapy, and they were hopeful. But we were saying at the graveside, and I don't know why I'm saying all this other than just trying to follow the Lord this morning. We were saying at the graveside, Miss Dolores had given me a couple verses that were near and dear to their hearts. And one of them was, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I do, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And, be not troubled and all that. I told Mr. Loris, I said, Mr. Loris, evidently God was done building Leonard's place. Evidently. Because he came and he got him. And I know the Lord, when he gets done and things are complete as he would have them be, ultimately he'll come back and he'll get all of us out of here that are saved. And we'll be with him in heaven. But you just remember that family, if you would. They're going through a lot. Also, Mary Kelly. She's rehabbing from her surgery she had. Miss Sharon's going to have surgery soon. And James Townsend. There's many other requests. But just pick yourself up a bulletin. Stay in tune with what's going on. I do want to mention that tonight we'll have our service downstairs at 5. Next Sunday, a.m. and p.m. is going to be Youth Sunday. And Brother Brian's going to carry both services. So thank you, brother, for that. All right. Well, listen, let's just pray. Let's pray this morning. I really feel like we just need to spend a moment to pray. Not a rushed prayer. Just relax and pray. And let God take care of the service. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name this morning. How, Lord, our hearts are breaking for the parents of those kids that died in that sudden flood in Texas. God, they went to a camp, happy, hopeful, possibly even had, I know they had plans when they returned to get ready for school, and they thought they had their whole lives in front of them, and now they're gone. Oh, Lord, let this be a reminder that our day could be any day, Lord. Our number could be up at any moment. Let us be ready to meet Jesus. If there's anybody here this morning that is not saved by the grace of God, maybe there's somebody watching on Facebook. I pray, if you died today, would heaven be your home? That's the question you need to ask yourself. And if you say, well, preacher, yeah, I work a job, I'm a good dad, I'm a good husband, then I would return back to you this comment: not enough. Not enough. The Bible declares that our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Jesus Christ came to bridge the gap between fallen man and a three times holy God. We could not get to God, but thank God, God came to us through Jesus. The only way, my friend, you can go to heaven is by asking Jesus into your heart, repenting of your sin, telling him to come in, save you, wash you, renew you, restore you, take you to heaven when you die. Be the Lord and Savior of your life. That's the only way that you'll get into God's kingdom. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring. Oh God, this morning I pray that you'll be merciful to these families. Wrap your arms around them with love and care. God, may all of us take that situation to heart. The Bible talks about that when we attend a funeral, we lay it to heart. We think different after death comes. And And Father, that is really a good thing. Some, Lord, they want to go to the house for joy. And listen, we want joy too. But going to the house of mourning, we lay it to heart. We lay this to heart, Lord, about the story that we heard. We lay it to heart. Let it change us. Let us, and those of us that are saved, God, let us dig our heels in deep. Spiritually, right now, this morning, let us bend our knees a little bit spiritually. Dig our heels in. Prop up against somebody, a close friend or relative or loved one, if you have to, in these days and times in which we live, to get by. But don't quit. Don't quit, child of God. There is a better day coming. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. I'm so thankful that there is just a day that's coming that's fairer than any day down here. No more sorrow, no more sickness, praise the Lord. No more pain, no more funerals, no more death calls, no more depression, no more discouragement, no more panic, no more anxiety, no more worry, no more fear. We're going to a place that's filled with no mores. Father, bring a little heaven down this morning so we can feel it. Thank you, Lord, for what we feel already. But God, I just pray that you'll flood through here in this church service and be God. Be God this morning, Lord. Be God. Bless this offering. Let it be used for the ongoing ministry here at the church and on foreign fields. God, we pray for everybody on our prayer list. You know who they are. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
In the morning,
yeah, there you go, brother.
When I rise,
if you need to come pray this morning, even during offering, you come pray.
When I rise,
this is the Lord's service.
In the morning, when I rise,
do you have Jesus?
Give me Jesus.
Anybody?
Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus. When I am alone.
Thank you, Brother Dakota. Hope your hearts have been touched. Go ahead. Hope your hearts have been touched this morning. And I appreciate the Lord steering the ship. And but we do have a special this morning that the girls are going to sing. And so you pray for them as they sing whatever there is you're singing.
Strength in the battle, I don't fear anymore. I'm a child of heaven, and my hope is secure. I've got joy because I've got Jesus. He gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains, and now I dance on solid ground. For all he's done to save me, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy. He bore all of my burdens, yeah, my debt has been paid. Then he said to my dry bones, rise above that grave. He has all of my worship, all the honor and praise. I've got joy cause I've got Jesus. He gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains and now I dance on solid ground. For all he's done to save me, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy like a river running through my soul. Joy all around me, everywhere I go. Even in the desert, still it overflows. Oh, I've got joy, yeah, I've got joy never ending, cause he called my name. Every breath I breathe, a testament of amazing grace. Oh, hallelujah, everything has changed. Oh, I've got joy, yeah, I've got joy. He gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains and now I dance on solid ground. For all he's done to save me, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy like a river running through my soul. Joy all around me, everywhere I go. Even in the desert, still it overflows. I've got Jesus, so glad I have him. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy.
Jesus is on the inside. He's going to pop out on the outside. Amen. I don't know what I did with my lapel, Brother Randy. Don't be too hard on me, brother. I'm just going to, what I'll do is I'll hold this handheld mic after I turn it on. And that way I feel like I'm about to sing, but I can't sing, so I'm preaching. That's weird. That's coming from somebody with a mind that has OCD. All right, good to be here this morning. Song service was amazing. Thank you so much, Brother Allen. Brother Coda, man, you are getting great on that piano. You already were great, getting greater. Dakota learned a song this morning, actually. And I know we talked about it recently or whatnot, but he, man, he just jumped on the keyboard this morning and nailed it in choir practice. What a blessing. Hey, happy wedding, happy marriage. Everybody give a round of applause. Hurry. I forgot how to say it. Mr. and Mrs. Lee. All right. Couldn't wait. Boy, they needed to get married. That's what it's like when you're in love. Me and Christy, we dated 10 months, got married, and we just hit, 20, 21, 20 years of marriage, and still love each other, and we know the do's and don'ts. 20 years in, I'll tell you, the do's and don'ts. But anyway, what a blessing to have Dakota and Brooke with us. The kids just love what the Lord's doing. We're just going to follow His lead here at Calvary continually and keep moving forward, keep reaching out to the community, keep upgrading things with our technology, and just want to shoot out a special thanks for what Brother Randy has done, the sound, the video team, Miss Catherine with all the hard work on the bulletin, and boy, we had us a pickle yesterday, didn't we? But anyway, we worked it out. Anyway, I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you for everybody here and all that you do. Just a feeling of joy and thankfulness in my heart. All of our Sunday school teachers, those in the nursery, thank you. Thank you so very much. Miss Lee Ellen, my goodness, you are such a great help to me. It sounds like I'm going somewhere, but I'm not. Really, I am. My family and I, we're going out of town tomorrow. We'll be back next Sunday. But I don't know. I'm just very thankful in this moment, this morning, for all of you. Acts chapter number 28. Acts chapter number 28 this morning. Want to downshift a little bit the tempo of the service. Get ready for the message, God's word. He does have something I'm convinced of that He wants me to share this morning. So we're going to do our best to do that, and I won't keep you long. We'll just go till the Lord's done. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you for all things. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the liberty so far this morning, the joy of the Lord in the house of the Lord. There's freedom to worship. We're thankful for that. I pray that you give me a clear head, a calm heart in the next few moments. Help me not put the cart before the horse, but wait on you in my preaching, in my teaching. Father, I want you to speak to your people. Holy Ghost, do what we can't do, us mortal men cannot do. You do. Please, this morning, help us. In Jesus' name we do pray, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. I want to summarize some things before we read out of Acts 28, verse 1 through 6. In the previous chapter, the events that took place, Paul was imprisoned and he was on a ship. And the Bible says that there were, in total, 276 people on this ship. And this ship, it was going to Rome. It was heading there to Rome. Paul was to stand before Caesar. In the middle of the travel, there was a storm. The Bible calls it a Euroclodon. A storm, a strong storm from the east. Sometimes these Euroclodons, these strong storms from the east, strong storms in general can generate out of nowhere. We saw that on the news this morning, how within an hour or a day, it flooded that whole area and many died of those campers. And so they were in this storm, and there came a time in this storm where they traveled 14 days in this storm. They didn't eat. They were hungry. They cast four anchors out of the ship to slow their go. It was dark. They didn't know if they were going to land upon the rocks. They cast four anchors. Verse number 29. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. They were hoping it would slow the ship down just in case there was some rocks there. So finally daybreak came, and the Bible says that they crashed upon the shore. They lifted those anchors and they went. It was daybreak, and they saw shore, but they crashed upon the shore. This was the island of Melita. That's a beautiful name, isn't it, Brother Brian? Melita. I like saying it like that. The island of Melita. And so this is the background story. Now, when they crashed on the shore there, the island of Melita, some swam to shore that knew how to swim. But others got there, the Bible says in verse 44, chapter 27, on boards, and some on broken pieces. They were literally, I mean, they had a board, and they were literally trying to make it to shore. Some had big boards, some had little broken pieces. But the blessing to that is, all made it safe to the land, the Bible says in verse 44. All made it. And this isn't my message, but while it's here, y'all know we're in a storm, right? This world is not our home. We are just passing through. We're going to make it on the other side. Some of us will be swimming there spiritually. Some will arrive with boards, and some will just barely make it there on broken pieces. But God promised we will make it. What a blessing. And so now we have chapter 28. Notice in verse number 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. In other words, great kindness they showed. For they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. I want to stop reading there in verse number 6. That's reading Acts chapter 28, verse 1 through 6. What an amazing story that begins to unfold the moment they crash on land. It wasn't long after this situation I just read about, this viper that latched on to Paul's hand, that there was a man there whose name was
Publius, and who had a father who was sick, and Paul laid hands on him and he was healed. And others came, and verse number 9, so when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. What a blessing. Verse number 10, we see that Paul was honored. They gave him necessary things for living. Verse 11, he was there at Melita for about 3 months. But this morning, I want to call your attention to our verses that we read, verse 1 through 6 specifically. And I want to call your attention to verse number 3 and verse number 5 for our text verse. Paul is gathering sticks. The barbarous people here had noticed their shipwreck, noticed they were cold, noticed it was the conditions, it was raining. They didn't show little kindness, they showed great kindness. They started a fire, and Paul said, hey, let me help out with that. Paul was just doing good. And he was gathering a bundle of sticks, and as he laid them on the fire, a snake came out of the fire and latched onto his hand. And it stayed. I mean, it stayed for a little while. He was bit by a venomous snake. He was bit by a viper. Now look at verse number 5. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Verse 3, Paul was bit. Verse number 4, Paul shook it off. With this said this morning, I want to preach a few moments on this thought, this title, this topic, fighting vipers. Fighting vipers. Now, Paul fought this viper. And he won. He shook it off. It really wasn't much of a fight at all. But he did get bit. And he did shake it off. Now, I'm not talking about, and you know this, I'm not talking about snake fighting. I'm not, if you want to see snake fighting, do what I do. Go on YouTube and look it up. I was watching a man the other day, and you know, kudos to him. I watch it on my TV, but he was going tipping over tins, like metal roof tins. That's his YouTube page. He goes over tin tipping, looking for snakes. And I mean, he found snake after snake. After he picked them snakes up and called them baby and honey. Oh, wait a minute, baby. Oh, it's okay, honey. It's okay. And so I'm not this morning, I'm not talking about when you're out this summer and you're cutting grass and you get bit by a snake, shake it off and go your own way. No, much more deeper than that, I hope. But I want to look at this story and mention some things. I see that Paul dealt with surrounding this snake bite. And I want to try to make a connection with some things that we may encounter during difficult times, some things that we may experience that can feel like a snake bite. How did Paul deal with his? How do we deal with ours? That's what I want to try to talk about this morning. I want to mention 3 vipers that we all will deal with at some point in time or the other. Viper number 1 is the viper of discouragement. The viper of discouragement. Again, Paul was 14 days on a ship in a storm. My goodness, he weathered that storm and he made it to land and feeling good and picking up sticks, and all of a sudden, wham! Snake bit. I mean, things were going well. Things were going good. It was They got to shore after the storm. Everybody okay, men? Everybody, oh, yeah, yeah, we're fine. Okay, all right, let's. They meet these people, these barbarous people. They call them barbarians. Basically what they were non-Greeks is what they were. It was raining and it was cold on this island. And so they were showing kindness and making a fire. And man, I'm sure Paul was like, this is great. I mean, they didn't kill us. They could have shot arrows at us and killed us. I'm going to go out and try to help, do something good, and gather up some sticks. And so Paul was gathering those sticks, and while he was doing good, he laid those sticks down, possibly feeling joyful and happy, getting warm, and wham! Snake bit. The snake bit him when he was doing good. Paul was feeling good. Paul was doing better, and they survived that shipwreck, and now they're getting warm. Listen, sometimes this viper of discouragement will come when you're doing good. I mean, you finally got some things ironed out. You finally got some direction in your life. You God has finally spoken to you, and you know where to go and what to do. There's a little bit of clearance over here, a little pathway over there, figuratively speaking. And then all of a sudden, wham, discouragement can hit you. It can bite you like a viper. Now, Paul, listen to me. He could have let that snake bite discourage him. He could have panicked. He could have started fearing. The Bible could have recorded anxiety and fear and trouble and struggle, but it didn't. Paul, he could have sank in despair. He could have said, I'm snake bit, I said I'm dead. Oh God, you got me through the storm, why are you going to kill me now? The Bible doesn't say that, does it? No. That's because when Paul was bit by this viper, he still continued to believe what God said in the storm in Acts 27. Acts 27, verse 24, they were in the storm, and the angel showed up and said this, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Listen, Paul was, he was bit, but he had a promise that he was going to make it where God wanted him to go. I want to tell you, sometimes in life, when we're doing good and we are going along, sometimes we can be bit by this viper of discouragement. So what did Paul do? Verse number 5, Paul shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Now, no doubt this circumstance was alarming to Paul. No doubt. I mean, the scriptures don't record that, but I would have to say they would have been a little disturbing getting bit by a snake and it staying on your hand. I'm inserting that here. That's what Justin says. But he felt no harm. Listen, church. Why didn't he feel no harm? Because he knew he wasn't going to die. He felt no harm because God made him a promise that while things may look discouraging and I'm standing here trying to shake off a viper off of my hand, I'm going to make it. And so Paul, he leaned on the promises of God. Listen, you're here this morning and you may be bit by a viper of discouragement. You may have made a little room progress on this side of the field, maybe over here doing better in this area, things are going better at home, but all of a sudden, while you're doing good, you get bit and discouragement settles in. I want to say this morning, you must lean on the promises of God during times of discouragement. We must shake off this viper of discouragement, and we do that by leaning on God's promises that are still true for you and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I know that whom I have believed, he is able to commit that. When I got saved, in other words, I know that whom I have believed, he is able to keep me until the day that he returns. God, listen, we need to lean on his promises. He's still in your corner this morning. You may be here this morning discouraged. Feel like God is at odds with you. I will say, you must examine yourself. If you are a Christian already, God is not angry with you. He loves you. He loves the lost. There can be things that fog and cloud and kind of distort our relationship with God, even as believers. But he loves you. He's here for you. He's in your corner. Lean on the promises of Almighty God. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I mean, listen, the list goes on and on. If God be for us, who can be against us? And again, that verse, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. That's the verse I was trying to quote a minute ago. We can be confident that if God saved us, he will see us through. But in the meantime, we might have to do a little bit of shaking. A little bit of shaking. You know, sometimes I think people don't have a filter. You can be having a good day and all of a sudden somebody come along and like, ew, that color don't go good on you. You know what I'm going to start saying? If somebody tells me that, I'm going to go, ew, nobody asked you. That's what I want to say, but I'm like, that was just a silly example. Listen, you can be coming to the house of God and you can be excited that, look, you're on a regular Bible reading program. You got a regular prayer life, things. You overcame some battles this week and victories this week. And then one person say something negative. I mean, listen, it just, if we're not careful, it can cut us down to the stump out of nowhere. And shame on me if I let that happen to me. 99 people can say great things to me, but it's that one that I think about. Are you that way? Why do we do that? Why do we think about that one thing? You know what I'm saying? And so back to the text, though. Paul shook it off. The circumstances were alarming, but he was not deterred. He didn't die. And I believe the reason why he didn't, because God had a plan for him. And I want to tell you, you trust God where you're at. You follow his leadership. You will have bouts of discouragement. You just shake them off. Lean on the promises of God and keep going forward. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. All right? And so we see the viper of discouragement. There's a second viper I want to mention. Not only the viper of discouragement, but the viper of criticism. I want to lean in a bit more and get a little more personal, not from my life, but just real issues that we deal with in life. The viper of criticism. Look at verse 4. And when the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt. This man's a murderer. He did something wrong. That's why he got bit. Hey, look, they said, Bro Ceylon, they said, no doubt. If you're telling me something and you say no doubt, that means what you're about to say is 100% true and accurate. No doubt, from your perspective. He said, no doubt he is a murderer. Murderer. A they were criticizing him because of his snake bite. He'd done something wrong. It reminds you of the story of Job, how his three friends thought he did something wrong. Job said, y'all are miserable comforters. Miserable. They were quick to judge him because of his circumstances. Church, let us not judge people because of their struggle. Let us not judge people because they may be down. Let us not judge people because they may slip. Let us not judge people because they may sin. They may backslide on God. The truth of the matter is some, even some Christians, are waiting on other Christians to mess up so they can see, say, I told you so. You know I'm preaching it right. In the world in which we live, there are some so-called Christians that are waiting for Ceylon to blow it all. Because when Ceylon messes up, it's going to make them feel better about themselves, about how relaxed they are spiritually. There are real critics that we deal with. And these men, these women, whoever they were, they said, no doubt this man's a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Y'all with me this morning? Say amen. All right. They must have said one to another, he must have done something terrible. He must have murdered somebody. He escaped the sea storm, but now he's going to pay for his wrongdoing. Look, it's evident. He was bit. He wasn't doing nothing wrong. He was snake bit. He's going to die. Not all criticism is bad, I want to tell you. There's two kinds of criticism. There is good criticism, amen. But then there's destructive criticism. There's destructive criticism. And I think sometimes people are trying to give constructive criticism, but it really does more damage than good if it's not done in the right spirit. But there is good criticism. There is bad criticism. But a lot of people, they operate out of destructive criticism. Look, he failed. Look, he fumbled. Look, he messed up. This is destructive criticism. They knew absolutely nothing about the life of Paul. How could they say, no doubt he's a murderer? They didn't know nothing about him. They were casting judgment on Paul. They were criticizing Paul. They knew nothing about Paul's life, the storm experience. They knew very little. Listen to this. In fact, the moment Paul got saved, people were criticizing him and trying to kill him. So if you get criticized, church, and you will, we all will. Jesus was criticized. When you get criticized, just understand, the devil must feel, in his demonic dominions, must feel threatened because you're experiencing criticism to bring you down. Destructive criticism brings one down. Constructive criticism builds one up. It's in the very word, constructive, construction, destructive, down. You and I will face criticism, but there is a criticism that is straight from the bowels of hell. And listen, and it is a mean viper. Listen what Babe Ruth said. Listen, y'all listening? Babe Ruth said this: the loudest boos come from the cheapest seats. The people that invest the least in you will have the most to say about you. Amen. Boy, that a preach. The loudest boos don't come from those behind home plate. You know why? You know why Acuna is not booed at Truist Park? Behind people behind home plate. Number one, that's his home park. Because they're afraid of what he might do or say. They're cowards. The boos come from cowards. Boos in life. People who say negative things about you, They're the people who invest little in you, because if you invest in someone's life, if you do have criticism, it will be constructive. It will build them up. Listen, tell a person when they're wrong. Tell them if they made error. But do it in an attitude of Christian likeness and for the glory of God. But I want to tell you, there's some snakes out there. Oh, man. Facebook is crazy, isn't it? You know when somebody has something going on. I'm not going to say no names. You probably know them. People all over, like, southeast, north, east side that I know, others as well. But anyway, they'll post something on there and say, if you're married to a person like this, then you're in trouble. They're narcissistic and they just need to get right. Okay, obviously they are hiding behind their keyboard and they're wanting to tell somebody something, but for some reason they don't tell them to their face. And I'll say this in all spiritual wisdom and all that I have, I haven't received much of that, if any. But I will say, if you have something to say to me, just tell me to my face. If you have something to say to a brother or sister, tell them to their face in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. There's criticism out there, guys. Let's be like Paul said Philemon was. Be a refreshing Christian. And listen, that don't mean you're passive and you just let people slide. No, there's a time, like I said, there's a time and place when you exhort someone, you admonish them, you reprove them. There are times for that. But those keyboard snakes. Babe Ruth said, the loudest boos come from the cheapest seats. The people that invest the least in your life will have the most to say about it. Jesus was criticized. So here's what I say in my second point of criticism. Look unto Jesus. We shake off criticism by looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Endured the criticism, endured the pain, the anxiety, the fear. He endured that for the joy that was set before him, which was the salvation of our souls, is how I look at that verse. We got him through. Wow, Brother Jeff. We got Jesus through the joy that was set before him. So guess what? Guess what happens now? Jesus gets us through. He endured it. He bled in the garden. I mean, listen, nailed to the cross. Oh, man. TV can't even show it like it really was. Blood and gore and metal and chains and whips and straps and claws. You ever heard of the cat of nine tails? He was, Passion of the Christ, I think, is the closest to how it really happened. He was chained like this. Man, them old Roman soldiers had this grip of some kind of material, and it had chains stemming from it with claws on the end. And I'm telling you, they slammed with anger, resentment, and everything within them, every evil propensity that they had, lashed Jesus' back, okay? And I'm sure those claws must have lodged in from time to time, and they would yank those chains off of him. Flesh coming off, ribs showing. That's what Jesus did. And you are the reason why he did it. It got him through. And so when I'm facing discouragement, and I'm facing criticism, if Jesus could look at an old sinner like me and it allowed him to get through, I know he's God. I know he has all power. I know all that. I'm just saying, in a human perspective, I'm going to look unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a blessing. We can endure it. If you're being criticized, guess what? Jesus was criticized. The devil don't mess with dead ducks. Watch out for this viper of criticism, this destructive criticism. And when it comes, because it's coming, you shake it off by looking unto Jesus. Let me mention a third thing and I'm done. There's the viper of expectation. The natives had low expectations of Paul's survival. Verse number 6, look right here. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Of course, as we read in our introduction, Paul went on through and it was made known who he was. He wasn't a god, obviously, but he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. This viper of low expectation, they said in Paul's struggle, he's dead. And the devil says to you and to me, when we're going through discouragement, criticism, we're down, the devil says, you're dead. There may even be some people that say, he's not going to make it, she's not going to make it, they're gone. They thought Paul's struggle would kill him. They thought he would swell up and die. Some people have, and listen, this isn't one of those messages where I'm trying to rant and rave and be on a tangent. No, I really think there's something here that we need to deal with, because this is our reality. We deal with people. Some people have low expectations of you and me. A lot of people are waiting on you and I to fail or mess up. And maybe the reason why a lot of people have low expectations of people is because previous experiences has shaped that. Well, this one promised this one promised that, so moving forward with this situation, my expectations are low. I can understand how over time, through failure over and over again, your expectations won't be that high. But I really think that we ought to have some good expectations of people. When somebody's struggling, we ought not to be like, well, they deserve it. Maybe this will teach them a lesson. Or they're struggling. They're down. They're out. Well, you know, I didn't think they're going to make it anyway. These that got baptized on Wednesday, I want to see them grow and excel. Brother B does too. Everybody in this church wants to see them grow and excel in the Lord. They get up and they're excited. They want to share some verses, or they get excited at church. Let them get excited. I don't want to hush their praise. Anybody that's excited about the Lord, well, somebody says, well, hey, man, I can't wait to church. Wait to go to church on Sunday. You know, it's Friday when they say this. And the person said, yeah, the only reason why they're excited is because it's Friday. Come on. It doesn't matter. If they say they're excited to go to church on Sunday, but really they're excited because it's Friday and they're off 2 days, let them be excited about church on Sunday. But really they're excited about work being done on Friday. Listen, man, we just need to crush this viper of low expectation. Let's give people second chances. Let's look out for one another. Paul shook off this viper and lived. God had other plans for Paul. So regardless of what they thought, Paul was going to make it. Friend of mine this morning, you are going to make it as long as you abide by the rules. And when I say rules, I'm not talking about God's going to strike you dead with a lightning bolt. I'm talking about there are principles in this book that if we follow, we can live a blessed and fulfilled life. God wants to lead us into Canaan land. Come on, Brother Allen, I'm trying to quit. And so let us shake off these faithless conclusions of others. I'm telling you right now, the last thing my old buddies thought I was going to be was a preacher. And that's okay, because God shocked them. God shocked me. So let's follow the Lord. Prove them wrong. Prove them wrong. I'm not going to get into the message I have tonight because I'm dealing with something else, but there's a lot that I've been learning. So this month is, I believe it's 7 years, this month, as pastor of the church, you've allowed me to be, 8 years as a member. There's a lot I've learned in this amount of years, but years leading up to it. But I will say, in like the past year, I have learned a lot about me. And one of the things I have learned and still learning is not to take myself so serious sometimes. I mean, I can walk around and be the most offended person in the world if I allowed myself to. I'd leave the house, Brother Ceylon, and I'd get my feelings hurt all day, every day, if I allowed myself to. I mean, grocery store doesn't matter. Family events doesn't matter. Anywhere. But I'm learning about people, and I'm learning about me. I'm learning how not to overreact with anything that comes up. I'm talking about, I missed paying a bill. I got the money, I just didn't pay it. I'm not going to panic, start breathing into a paper bag, feel like I'm going to die. Pay the bill. And this is what I know in learning, and I believe my family, Christy and Lily, silly old dog of ours too, he probably picks up on it. I just want to give God some praise real quick. I'm learning how not to overreact for the first time in my life. I have struggled with anxiety. I have wrestled with demons. Somebody could say something simple, and my mind goes to the worst possible place ever. But by the grace of God and help from my doctors, I have been able to know who I am and not care about what comes. And when I'm calm, guess what Christy has? A calm husband. And when I'm calm and I'm not overreacting, guess what Lily has? A calm daddy. In church, when I'm calm and I've not allowed the devil to run my face in the mud all week, and I come in here on Sunday and I'm ready to preach, and there's a calm Justin, guess who you're going to be? Calm people. I'm just saying that God's been working in my life. I have carried a lot of vipers attached to me. I have allowed people's criticism to define me. But I tell you, I know who I am, Brother Jeff. Some people don't know my story out there, and that's okay. Some people may type stuff up on Facebook, and nobody did, but I'm just saying, they might do that, and that's okay. I'm not going to take it down. I'm going to leave it there. In the past, there will be some negative comments here and there, and Wild Blue Yonder, and in all seriousness, to be walking into a room, used to, and see people talking in the back. You know what my mind goes? They're talking about me. They're getting ready to let me go, Calvary. That's not right, church. That is the medical term is faulty alarms. You know how you get a faulty alarm in your mind and you have mental problems? It's by dealing with stress and vicious cycles over and over and over and not getting help. Listen, I don't know what the Lord is doing right now with this, but I want to say this. We need help. Your pastor has gotten a lot of help in the past year and a half. I'm not saying that I'm not going to struggle anymore. And I'm not saying that criticism won't bother me, but when it comes, I know how to deal with that. I have learned, number one, I can't stop anybody from saying anything about me. But I needed to get to number two. I don't care what they say about me. It's taken 42 years, Brother Don, to get to the place where I don't care. I'm not a snob. I'm not arrogant. Y'all know me better than that. But church, I want to tell you that I have a mission to accomplish. I have a race to run. God has entrusted me with this church. And listen, you love me, and I know that. I love you. I don't want to let you down. I don't want to let him down. I've got to move forward. And I'm asking you today, if you're suffering from depression or discouragement, or you lay in the bed at night with anxiety and you can't stop your mind and it's going and going and going, I want you to look at your pastor and say that, and I will tell you that was me. And thanks be to God, there's doctors that can help you. There's therapy, there's counseling. What makes anybody think a pastor don't need a pastor? What makes anybody think that a pastor don't need a doctor or help? Because I humble myself, I got help, and I'm happy. And we're going to give this invitation, and listen, we're not pointing fingers, we're not calling names, I'm just saying this to say, fight the snakes, shake them off, care about your testimony, live the best life for Jesus you can, but anything other than that, let it go, because it don't matter. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you this morning, we thank you, we praise you. God, please give liberty during this time of invitation. I don't know, maybe the message was for somebody. I know it was for me. It helped me studying and preaching this morning. But I just pray, dear God, that if somebody's here and they need help, that they would come and other believers would surround them in the altar and pray. In Jesus' name, I do pray. With thanksgiving in my heart, amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come and pray, you pray. If there's some things you need to shake off, come and shake them off. Come on, shake them off. We shake them off by the promises of God. Ten spies said, we can't inherit the land. Two spies said, we can. There's going to be the negatives, but you be a positive. You can have victory. You can be blessed. You can rise above. You can. Israel was discouraged from the giant. He said, we can't kill him. David said, watch this. Your giants can fall this morning. Your giants can fall. Jesus wants you to have joy. He wants you to have a deep-seated contentment. Not happy all the time, but just a deep-rested contentment. I don't know what's going to happen this time, but I know when I die. here is quitting. Nobody here is giving up. If a viper comes along, we'll shake it off. I'm just overly joyed this morning. How much I love you and what God's doing and where we're going. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, wrap it up right there. Remember the service tonight at 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall.